Hey guys, Nintendo Dads is brought to you by, well, you. The amazing support of Patreon and our supporters on Patreon. And if you want to support us, even a dollar a month is so significant to us, head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. Thanks very much, guys, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Nintendo Dads episode 82. After just 24 hours, we're back with our day two coverage of Nintendo's E3 2016 live stream that includes Pokemon Go, a new RPG called Ever Oasis, Sharp FE, Paper Mario Color Splash, and a few more surprises, plus your questions. Actually, there are no questions. So, Zach, cue the music.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson and tonight is June 15th. This is new music. We're not keeping this music, but it's so snappy. We're going to get to where this music is from in a minute. But yeah, right on. So this is, of course, the Nintendo Dads Podcast. We're dads. We podcast about Nintendo. Pretty self-explanatory. Joining me tonight for this special episode recapping day two of Nintendo's E3 business is Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
Man, I am like just raving over here. I had a large peanut butter parfait before the podcast, and now I'm like hopped up on sugar, fudge, and chocolate. Speaking of sugar, fudge, Jesse Waldack, VG Tribune, what's going on, buddy?
It gets caught in your beard, and you save it for later.
I have some fudge in my beard, which was my wrestling name in high school.
Fudge in my beard.
Little beard you had back then.
I'm going to leave that one alone. This is what I'm going to do. Right on. So, right on. So, by the way,
good to be... but my son, who's just going to be turning 16 soon, has blonde hair. Therefore, his beard's coming in blonde. So, from a distance, you can't tell. But up close, I'm like, you're starting to get some hair there.
Nice. Right on.
That's very a whole cool. different conversation.
Well, gentlemen, yes. tonight's going to be a little bit of a shorter show. Obviously, we just had our 2 hours last night, and we've had another full day of Nintendo Treehouse Live that we're going to kind of basically go through all of the news from today, everything that was shown off. And I didn't even pull up my bumpers because this computer was being weird. So this is just, I'm going to fade this music out because you know what? Or we could just We could leave this for literally the whole show
just,
if
like,
we wanted.
Background,
it's on
background.
Loop, right? So,
and for those of you that don't watch us on YouTube, again, all of our shows we caught on YouTube at like the day, you know, a couple hours afterwards. Go over because Zach and I apparently for you know white guys have some awesome dance moves and music to this the stuff that's going on. I feel like I was raving. I don't know. It was great.
Yep. There you
Zach's
go.
Doing some kind of arm worm.
Yep. Method. There you go. Armworm, that was my wrestling name in high school. Right on. Okay, well, we got quite a bit of stuff to go through. I'm going to fade that out. By the way, that music was from a little game that was released stealthily this afternoon. So if you don't have it, we'll talk about it again later. But Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix is out. So go get it. It's amazing. Cool. So let's head into the news. First off, so we're just going to go down the list. Is that how we do shows?
Well, typically what you do is you play a bumper and you say, and the news is brought to you. And I say, well, the news
I'm
is brought to us
it.
By our amazing I'll sponsors and partners.
Hang on. Wait. Here. You know what? It just doesn't feel right. Does it? Here.
It doesn't. You just do it right.
There we go. Did you hear it?
No.
Good. Well, it wouldn't be a show like if it didn't work. So that's okay. I heard it and the listeners at home heard it. So YouTube people didn't hear it. And so everything is right as rain. Episode 100, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, tonight, even though it is episode 82, Jesse was doing the math before the show. And this is episode 82 with like the After Darks and the Patreon hangouts and Retro Rewinds, all this. This is actually the 100th episode of Nintendo Dads. We just figured that out right before we started. So congratulations to us. Good job, everybody here. Do I have a cool thing here? Like,
you know, can we pull out our Charles Martinet sound clip?
Yep, somewhere. I'd have to.
God, what are you doing?
I don't have a soundboard. There we go.
I'm gonna get you a soundboard one of these days.
Not that you can hear
anyway. Way, you guys are my favorite people to be doing a Nintendo Dad's podcast with.
Yeah.
So you know that's something.
Is that like me telling my only daughter that she's my favorite daughter?
You know what? It could be.
Yeah.
But it's whatever. I feel like I had a special moment. I feel like you ruined it.
Yeah. Well, again, keeping with the show. You know.
Keeping with the show, ruining things.
As your kids get older, that's our job, is to ruin the kids' special moments.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of jobs, my job is always to tell our fans about our amazing partnership with 1UpBox.com. Awesome exclusive t-shirts. June's theme is survival, I guess. We haven't got the box yet, but I'm excited. If you want, I believe you can still go over to 1UpBox.com, still register this month, and you'll get that box for survival. Head up to 1UpBox.com. Use the promo code NintendoDads. And by the way, we like you so much, and 1UpBox like you so much, they're going to give you some money off the first month. Thank you very much to 1UpBox.com for their amazing partnership.
Absolutely. Right on. We've already got questions coming in the chat, so maybe we can get some questions from people as the show goes on. So, first up,
yeah.
So today, day two, you know, I went back and listened to today. I listened to day one, and we can't – I mean, we have a tendency of sometimes coming across as negative. I feel like day two – the first question in the chat that we've got is, what do we think was better for Nintendo, day two or day one? I think given the context of everything they showed about Zelda in day one, day two was a really good follow-up to it, where they showed like day one, they showed, they showed off a ton of Zelda. They kind of stumbled with the Pokemon stuff. I think they overestimated how much draw there was with that. But I feel like day, I don't know. I feel like it's a good package deal. Sandwich isn't the right thing. It's like a cheese and cracker. Like what's better, the cheese or the cracker? It's like, no, it's both. You got to have both for it to be. The combination is what makes it good. I don't know if that's a weird analogy, but that's what I'm sticking with.
If they had done day two and day one instead, people would be complaining there wasn't enough Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it this way, and it might have been complaints saying there was too much Zelda or not enough other things, but overall I think they did it in the right order, and I think, you know, for me, I think I got more out of day two than day one, just because I kind of got Zelda'd out. I didn't want to get spoiled on too much, so
they only had like an hour's worth of Zelda footage today, right? Like hardly any. Yeah. They showed all the Zelda on the first day, which, by the way, I think in retrospect, like looking at it now, I don't know if anybody, like if listeners, if you haven't seen, I think Game Explain has a video of the line for the Zelda demo, and apparently 15 minutes after the show floor opened, the line was closed for the rest of the day. It's like, it's insane. They have not seen lines this long at E3 since the original unveiling of the Wii. And so...
The Wii U had lines like that too, where maybe it wasn't 15 minutes, but within an hour, they closed the line.
Right. Because, yeah.
Of course, back then they had two Wii U demo units.
Oh my gosh!
The rest of the floor were Wii units demoing Skyward Sword. Can't think of the other names, like the
stuff. Yeah.
Other stuff. My mind just blanked out.
Oh, that's cool.
The Rhythm Heaven for the Wii was shown. Fortune Street is what I was thinking of. That was shown. I think that was my favorite demo to play.
Yeah, but like I think what I was saying too was that given the fact that they showed an entire day of Zelda, what that I think did was got everybody's attention for a very long period of time, right, where it's the most talked about game on the show floor. It is the biggest line in the entire, you know, in the entire convention. It is literally the biggest game of E3. And so I think they're just going to be riding that wave for the rest of E3, because even though the stream was only 2 days, it goes for, is it just tomorrow or is there also Friday? I don't know.
Thursday's the last day.
Thursday's the last day. So tomorrow the show floor will be open as well. But yeah, I think that they came out of the gate swinging hard. I think it was pretty good. Anyway, I don't know. What do you guys think of just in general before we get into specifics?
I don't know which Twitter account it was, but one Twitter account has been kind of tracking the Twitter chatter on various games.
Yeah.
You know, going back to Sunday night when everything started, and The Legend of Zelda had the top spot.
Mm-hmm.
By a substantial amount.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, by quite a bit.
Yeah, so. I think, Zach, you're right. I think that they came out with a pretty good, I think day two was all right for them. I think there was, I mean, a lot of the stuff for day two, we knew.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you had, if you've kind of played the Nintendo, you know, you're in the know kind of like we are, you knew it was probably going to be announced. You just needed to finally get a date or a detail on it. So there was a lot of that stuff. I mean, we did obviously get some more information about Pokemon Go, which was good. We saw the new RPG and we did get a little bit deeper into a couple of the other games, but nothing here that was outstandingly shocking. But I think, you know, leading in day one with Zelda being all day Zelda, the lines that were shown, I mean, I think that's just stand up tremendous. I think overall. I think they did good. I think they did good for what they were going to do, which is they wanted to bring Zelda, and that was kind of thing they focused on, and nothing else was really too shocking for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I agree. So let's get into it, shall we? So the first thing that we started out with the Pokemon Go Plus announcement. One thing I thought that was really cool about this panel was, A, they had a ton of people there. It was very much like a round table. It looked like they were trying to rip off Nintendo Dad's E3 day one with the amount of people that were there. Like, yeah. Who are you trying to fool? We know where you're trying to, what you're trying to do, Nintendo. But they even had YouTube people up there. Like, come on, who are you? You're not fooling anybody. But essentially they did. The one thing I did like was that they had the two YouTube people. One of them I didn't recognize, but the other one, Jay Witz, yeah. I've watched his stuff for a long time. He's a really cool guy. So I liked that they had those two guys up there, and you could tell that they were both like, oh, what am I allowed to ask? I don't know. I'm like, when can I buy it? You know, stuff like that, where like I don't know how much they were prepared for it. Like, or if they were just like, am I allowed to ask when we can get it? Or if they were the ones who were, you know, told them that they were supposed to ask that, I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was cool having them up there. They didn't give a ton of I guess they did give release date information stuff on the Pokemon Go Plus, which we're going to have to talk about that. But did either of you guys watch the Pokemon Go stuff?
I did.
What did you think?
You know, I didn't think it was bad. I thought, this sounds really bad. I feel like I wish that was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Because it's question, translate, answer, translate back. Do you know what I mean? And there's a fluidity of the conversation that makes it become and feel much more organic.
Yeah.
And I think at times it didn't feel that organic and that kind of, it felt very kind of puppeteered and contrived at times. So I just kind of wish that they could have done a pre-recording on that and kind of made it more fluid.
Well, goes back to that idea of like the idea of having that digital event. This could be something that they could have had that conversation pre-recorded as a segment of the digital event. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that method of conversation has existed for a long time. You know, Nintendo normal in the past has done the after show floor hours roundtable discussion with the media, and that's exactly the same thing. So the media is kind of used to that. It's the at-home audience that isn't used to that. That isn't media that is not used to that, and they will easily lose interest.
Yeah.
Where in my case, I'm so used to that type of back and forth, it really didn't bother me much.
Once I settled into it, I felt like it was a little bit more. Like by day two, where I had a little bit more time to sit down and enjoy, you know, I probably sat down from about 11 till I probably watched the first 2 or 3 hours of the Treehouse Live today. And it was like, you know what? I just like a little bit more comfortable, just relaxed and got to enjoy it a little bit more. But like you said, Justin, if this could have easily been the same information, the same type of conversation, they could have even had it with the YouTube guys. And had that same conversation and then edit it together, put it into that digital event.
And it's like 15 minutes tops.
Yeah, exactly. So having said that though, like there was something about it that I thought was really interesting. You can tell that they have a very specific intent that they want to get people out into the real world, catching Pokemon and all of that kind of stuff, you know, doing the gym stuff, exploring. And I think it got me thinking about Ingress. And, you know, yesterday we were talking about Ingress and how it was like, oh, go, you know, Dave, go play Ingress and then tell me you're excited about Pokemon Go. What I kind of realized was
you're a jerk.
No, part of what makes Ingress so crappy is the interface and the sort of like secret agent matrixy sort of feel almost, where it's all like high tech digital, whatever, where there's no real explanation to what's going on. Like, it's not very intuitive. And I feel like Pokemon Go might actually be the best thing that ever happened to Ingress, because basically it's the same game with some additional collecting mechanics on top of it. But it actually might be similar to, you know, like geocaching or something. This is the kind of thing that I am excited for the release of for the summer, when I can be like, all right, Nick, we're going to go and catch some Pokemon. Me and you, we're going for a walk. We're going to go hiking somewhere. Right. And that's going to be something exciting that I'm actually really looking forward to.
I thought it was very interesting that they actually mentioned that how the game came to fruition was that April Fool's joke from Google 2 years ago. I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't think we'd ever heard that one yet.
I've heard that before, I've heard it before, but I love that they talked about that too, where it's literally the same people, right? Like, it's like these people used to work at Google. Now do they still work for Google, or who do they work? Who are they now? I don't know if
they're now a separate company, I thought.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe Nintendo or Pokemon. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. They're a separate company. I'll Google it.
Okay. But I don't know. I was a little bit more interested in it. It's always nice to hear the developer's vision for something before the release of it. Right. So for this, the whole vision is getting people out. They even said, you know, there was a question of, will I be able to trade my Pokemon with other people? And they said, yeah, eventually we're going to do that. We are eventually going to add trading and, you know, porting your Pokemon to Sun and Moon and all that kind of stuff. But we're not putting that stuff in at launch, because we specifically want people to just go out into the world and go and catch Pokemon. And what we don't want is people to just start trading Pokemon back and forth on the internet and not doing what we designed this app for. So yeah. I really like that, and I respect that they have that very specific vision. I don't know if that's going to limit how much people enjoy it, but I'm perfectly willing to try it based on, you know, what the intent of the developer is. Like, I'm kind of willing to, I've bought into their vision a little bit more than I did before. So
right. The developer is Niantic.
Yeah.
Niantic. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And we also heard that, like, some of the Pokemon are based on location kind of near you. So they use San Francisco for as an example. They're finding a lot of water-based Pokemon.
Yeah,
right?
Over by, like, so the bay.
So I thought that's kind of interesting to kind of figure out that. So the other interesting information we got about this as well is that it is going to be released by the end of – or late July of 2016. And Pokemon Go Plus – which is the little like notifier crest
Bluetooth smart low energy
technology thingamajiggy. That's going to be at a retail price of $34.99.
Ugh, dude, that there is no reason for that to be more than like $20. It's literally an LED button that connects to your phone via Bluetooth. I don't understand that price at all. Having said that, I'll probably still get it.
And all it really does is notifies a player about events in the game, such as appearances of a Pokemon nearby, uses vibration and display, right? So I don't know about that one.
Yeah, well, actually what they did say in the roundtable as well is that if you're out and about, let's say, Justin, you're in a hurry or you are on the bus or something, or you're anywhere and you get a notification on your, let's say you wear it on your wrist, and all of a sudden you get a little vibration, you look at it, it has it, and you're like, I don't want to pull my phone out right now. I just want to, I'm going to try and catch it now, and then I'll see what it was later. So you push the button on there, and if it starts flashing rainbows, then you caught the Pokemon. and if it flashes red, you didn't catch it. But it literally is like, oh, there's a Pokemon here. Push the button, and then you try it out, and then that's it. So I like there is actually a little bit of functionality there. It literally is a device that prevents that helps you play the game less, which is kind of weird. But
I could see that easily transitioning to being like an additional on a like an iPhone app or a Google Pebble app.
Yeah, if right, they had like a cool Pebble app that works for Pokemon Go, I wonder if that would even be something that a third party could do. That would be interesting. Maybe not, but that would be really neat if they did have like a.
Because listen, I'm not wearing app. A Pokemon emblem crest button, you know, in the subway or going to work or anything, but it's on my wrist, on my iPhone.
Well, I mean, there's no reason that you couldn't even have like an Apple Watch extension of the app exactly. when you install it, yep. right? Yep. They want to sell the little plastic doohickey though, so good luck with that. So that's a little bit too expensive, but depending on how
but
much
the
I
app
like
is the free, game. The app is free,
right? And I wonder too, if you're buying that for $35. They didn't say this, but it would be really nice if it came with like a certain number of in-app credits or something like that, that you could buy in-app purchases with.
Sure.
That would be really nice if they did that. I don't know if they will though.
Yeah.
So that's Pokemon Go. Any other thoughts on that? Jesse, did you see this one? Are you interested in Pokemon Go?
It has piqued my curiosity, and I did put in a pre-order for it. You know, knowing I can always pull it out if I want, mm-hmm. change my mind. Just I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of how
I am planning on trying to do more walking. So this might be more incentive for me to do so.
Yeah. That's kind of how I'm feeling too. It's like, yeah, this will be a good reason for me to get out and go on my walks more often for sure. Right on. So next up here, we've got this amazing new, like, right as we were ending last night, there was this announcement. There's going to be a new IP announced tomorrow on the stream. And I was like, I can't remember who, if it was Bobby or somebody who said, oh man, Codename Steam. It's going to be another Codename Steam, which I liked Codename Steam. So we'll see. You know, so I was going into it thinking maybe it'll be something really cool. Turns out it is an RPG, a new RPG for 3DS called Ever Oasis. Jesse, do you have any information, or what information do we know about Ever Oasis?
Yeah, it's an action adventure RPG for the Nintendo 3DS. Again, contains puzzle filled dungeons, real time battles, exploration, and treasure hunting. Players use the Oasis as their base, which they can expand as they play and gain affinity with characters called seedlings, who are themed after plant seeds, as well as a variety of unique characters who live in the desert. Players can freely form strategic parties with any of their allied characters, using allied weapons and skills to battle enemies and solve dungeon puzzles. Ever Oasis is scheduled to launch in 2017.
Yeah, so that my
and
guess
that is called reading from a press release.
Yeah,
sure is.
So my guess is that that is basically going to be that's going to fill the Bravely Second, Fire Emblem, like the sort of like late January, early February RPG slot that has been for several years now, right? So, yeah, I mean, the interestingly, the person who one of the main developers on this is the title is produced by the producer and founder of Grezzo, who has worked on titles such as Final Fantasies 1, 2, and 3. As well as is personally responsible for creating Moogles and Chocobos from the Final Fantasy series. So, I mean, he's no slouch, right? It does look like a pretty... He's also responsible for the Mana series. So Secret of Mana, Sword of Mana, also responsible for that. So I'm not a huge fan of the art style. I'll tell you that right now. Like I'm not a fan of this sort of chibi art style. I'm going to be tentatively watching this one though, because it isn't just an RPG. It's more of an action RPG. These are also the people who ported Ocarina of Time and I think Majora's Mask as well.
Yeah, they did Majora's Mask and I think they did Triforce Heroes.
Yeah. So they've been, you know, involved in the Zelda series lately. And so I'm keeping an eye on it, I guess, because of the more action, the more action platform sort of, or action format instead of just like an RPG, straight up like turn-based RPG. If it is a little more action based, maybe like a, you know, some, not quite like Monster Hunty, but you know what I mean? Third person action game. I think that sounds kind of fun. So I will keep my eyes on it. I don't know. Either of you guys interested in it?
Very kind of slightly. I was like, it kind of looks okay, but I'm not super interested.
Yeah.
I need to know more. I need to see more.
Yeah.
It's something that if they put out a demo, I'll try it.
Yeah.
But right now it's like, I don't know. And I launched Triforce Heroes to check, and that is Grezzo.
Yeah. Cool. Right on. So that's that. So I don't know.
More to come. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about it in directs in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, well said.
We're going to pump a thing.
Right on. So next up on the stream, we had Box Box Boy, which is the sequel to Box Boy, which is coming out on the 30th. And
good.
So that's awesome. You can actually pre-purchase it now. And if you don't own the original Box Boy, I think it's $3 on the eShop in the States. Yep. It's like $3. It's ridiculously cheap. So you can go out and buy that one for $3 now. And the new Box Boy is coming out on June 30th.
It's part of the whole E3 sale where you get the extra 10% off of your linked accounts.
Right. And so that
ends on the 21st.
Yeah. And in this one, you know, what sets this one apart from the other one is that you're able to create two sets of boxes instead of just one. So all sorts of new puzzle types will ensue with that. I don't know. Justin, are you interested in this one? This seems like something that's up your alley.
Yeah, I really liked the first Box Boy. I thought it was a really cool, unique idea. We saw Box Boy 2, or Box Box Boy, released in Japan in, I think it was February or March, pretty early on. And it was like, hey, and it's in the eShop right now. Like, it was no fanfare for it there. It looked really cool. So I'm excited to play it. It's some good puzzle. If you like puzzle, you know, side-scrolling puzzles, it's fun. It's simple. So I actually didn't know it was available for pre-purchase. So I'll probably hit that up tonight. So
nice. Right on. Next up, we have Yo-Kai Watch 2, Bony Spirits and Fleshy Souls. This is arriving on September 30th. And I'm just going to read this press release because I think this is interesting. For people who played the first Yo-Kai Watch, it says players will embark on a new adventure across Springdale and through time, with more than 350 new and returning Yo-Kai to discover and befriend, each with a unique look, personality, and ultimate move. I'm sure that means means something to Yoga Watch people. Teaming up with the heroic Ken Hovernian, players will travel back in time 60 years and witness the origin of the Yokai Watch. So this is like a going back in time, and there's also up to 4 players with their own systems and games can team up in a co-op mode as well. So there's new Yokai in it. There's time travel. There's it's the sequel.
So it's a pre-sequel.
Yes,
Yokai. Exactly. Get in the time machine, Doc. We gotta go. We gotta go, Yo-Kai.
Got my Yo-Kai, wow. My bony, fleshy. I can't make anything out of that. Something.
Bony, fleshy body's not getting, Doc. We gotta go. We gotta go.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's coming September 30th. My son actually, my son loved the anime. My son is actually like a big anime freak. It's really funny. He's 5 and he loves anime. Like as soon as I showed him the trailer for Voltron, he was like, "Dad, give me the iPad. I'm gonna go watch Voltron right now."
Dad, then, leave me alone.
And then I picked him up. I picked him up from kindergarten. I should take a picture of it actually and post it online. But they have like just their sort of free time, and I pick him up, and he's got a picture of all 5 of the characters from Voltron and all 5 of the lions that he had drawn during drawing center or whatever.
Has he seen the new series yet?
Yeah, he's been watching it on Netflix.
Let's watch that one. So Zach, this was one that like last year, Yo-Kai Watch, we all kind of took, and I think we were all bombarded with everything else. It just didn't land right with us. Marty from Reactor Radio loved this, right? He really enjoyed it. And I would think this game would kind of fit right into, Nick's wheelhouse, right? Mm-hmm. He's really into Pokemon. Feels like there's a lot of connective tissue. He's into the show. Are you thinking about maybe trying to give this another crack and see what he thinks of it?
It's hard, like, especially when I've got you've got Pokemon coming like 2 months later, where I'm just like, do I really want to introduce him to both, or, you know, like, it's just hard to have both of those there, especially given he's going to be in grade one. So he can't really read yet, you know, like he can recognize letters, but he can't really read that well. And so I don't know. It's on my radar. It's another one that's on my radar. Sure. I'm not sure. I'll have to see, but I'll see what the reviews are like too. Like, I'm not sure how this one compares to the first one, what the consensus is. Like, is it a great improvement over the first one? I'm not sure. So
do we also suspect this will now be the annualized, you know,
well, Yo-Kai Watch 3 came out last year in Japan.
Oh, wow.
So it's, I don't know if there's a Yo-Kai Watch 4 or anything like that, but Yo-Kai Watch 3 exists and will likely be localized if this one has any sort of success at all. So,
wow. Okay.
So yeah, Monster Hunter 4 or sorry, Monster Hunter Generations was the next one. And they announced that that starting June 30th there will be a demo, which I think is cool. As well, select ambassadors will receive 2 early access codes for the special demo before it's made available to everyone else. Additionally, those with Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate save data on their systems will receive a bonus item pack that includes exclusive feline armor set, potions, in-game money, and more to dive right into the hunt. So there you go. There's a bunch of cool stuff. I honestly didn't see a whole bunch. This seems just like another one. You know, like, it doesn't seem like there's a whole bunch more. There are maybe some, like, new ultimate moves. People who are actually huge into Monster Hunter are probably shaking their fists right now. But you can play as a cat now. You can be the felines, which is exciting. They're fleshing out that bony fleshy fleshing out that battle system more, right? So there's special moves and powerful monsters, and if you like Monster Hunter, it's more of that is what it seems like. It's more of that and an increased amount of it, and all, you know, which is what more of that means.
And this one actually also has a specialized amiibo too.
Oh, see, still haven't seen these amiibo. Okay, let me see these Monster Hunter amiibo. Did they show them on screen? Like, did they show them here?
They didn't show them here, but I've seen screenshots of them.
Is that for?
It was Japan announced it.
No, it's Monster Hunter Stories that's getting its own amiibo, which is a different game. So that's the one that's not
confusing in any way.
Yeah, that's the one that's a little
confused with the Final Fantasy game that's acting like.
Here, I'm gonna put Monster Hunter. I'll put a link in the show notes, Justin, right after this. Okay. This is actually the Monster Hunter Stories, which it looks like it's actually a little bit more like a more kiddie art style actually. But that one, you're right. That is the one that's getting its own amiibo.
Okay.
Which are pretty cool looking amiibo actually. Looking at those, but. That hasn't been announced for North America.
They're pretty sick.
Yeah, they're cool. They're very detailed and they're kind of huge. So
right, but this one is not that one.
No, it's not that one. No, it's basically it looks a lot like Monster Hunter 4.
It's the uncool one.
Yeah. So there's that. yeah. So next up, any other thoughts on that? I think that's kind of. It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't really got much on that one.
Yeah. Next up, Jesse, I'm gonna lean on you for this one. Dragon Quest VII.
I'm gonna take a snooze break now.
Oh,
it's nap time for Justin.
All right. So Dragon Quest VII, Fragments of the Forgotten Past, was this a release date announced just today? Is that news?
Yes. We did not know that before today.
So this is a remake of the classic turn-based game, right? So, but it's the first time it's been localized here, correct?
No, it did have a PS1 release in North America, but it was notoriously rare and a bad localization.
Okay.
So, cool. That's right now the only Dragon Quest game I haven't played.
Very cool. So you're looking
outside
forward
of
to
10,
it.
Which. Never came out here and never will.
So not interested is what I'm hearing.
Well, no,
just kidding.
No.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I definitely am interested.
Okay, cool. So what did we learn anything new from this? Like,
I didn't see much of the Treehouse about this. It sounds like you know, they did add additional features to the game. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't just a raw part of the PS1 game. Mm-hmm. So that they did add, you know, so things that they learned, especially with regarding job systems with Dragon Quest IX.
Yeah.
Is incorporated into this. There's apparently over 50 jobs, even though the trailer says over 30.
And yeah, it says 30 before. On Nintendo's website, too.
But I think the actual number is more like 50.
Okay. There's also Street Pass stuff that they've added. Send and receive travelers' tablets to explore new dungeons that contain rare monsters and unique equipment. So, yeah.
Nine did that. Well, kind of. You know, DS didn't have Street Pass, but mm-hmm. it had a Street Pass-like functionality that did require you to be in a specific mode, and then you close the DS to put it in the sleep mode. So, you know, this thing drew power, you know, like a regular game still. It didn't actually go into sleep mode. Huh. And if you happen to have passed anyone else who did the same thing, who was in the same state, then it would transfer data. But
wow.
I'm, you know, a DS here in North America, that's never
happened. Yeah, good luck with that.
I've never gotten a hit that to hit.
Yeah.
But, you know, but incorporating that into Street Pass, that'll make it a little bit more likely.
That's pretty cool. So that's September 16th. That's kind of exciting.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool.
And along with the game that comes out next week.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the next thing that we've got here, which is Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE, which I didn't watch. There's a new trailer. This was one that I didn't watch either.
This one I did watch.
You did watch this. So did they show anything cool or new?
They showed a lot of battles against like bigger enemies and bosses, showing the the enemies are they call them mirages. So if you know Persona, similar to shadows,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's just the basic enemy,
right?
And when you're fighting, you can depending on which moves you select, you're able to stack them with other people to do a session. Mm-hmm. A musical term now. In one turn, multiple people could attack to start adding up the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed a side quest that was done that resulted in opening up just like a little mini concert. I don't know if it's something you can unlock and watch later in the main menu at any time, but it's just a short little, pre-rendered. I don't think it was pre-rendered, but at least it opens up a new cutscene you can watch, and they're dancing and singing, and it's kind of amusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's pretty. It seems interesting. I watched that trailer. The one thing that for me was, I watched the trailer and I was like, "Oh, I forgot that they're only doing subtitles for this." I was like,
"Right."
That was something that at the time I was like, "Oh yeah, that sounds awesome." And then I don't know if the trailer they used some crappy text, like it was clearly not in-game text for the trailer, and it was just ugly. I did not like that, but I don't know, it's interesting.
I think it'll be initially off-putting, but they'll either get used to it or they'll just hate it.
Yeah,
or in my case, I won't care. It's just like watching any other anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned before, the Ace Attorney episodes, they're right, Japanese with English subs, so it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, so it's basically going to be like watching imported anime for sure. Yeah. It still looks cool. I'm excited to hear your perspective on it for sure. I'm waiting for now, especially now that I've got Rhythm Heaven, which we'll get to in a minute. But
So that comes out next week. I am getting a deluxe edition shipped to me.
Nice.
That should be here on Friday, but I won't be here on Friday, so it won't be probably until the weekend when I can tape an unboxing and get that posted.
Nice, right on. Very cool. Next up, we've got Paper Mario Color Splash, which is being released on October 7th, which they announced yesterday, and there was a new trailer for that as well. Justin, how are you feeling about this Paper Mario, dude?
I am excited for the Paper Mario. I think, Jesse's kind of really into Dragon Quest and Sharp FE. I'm kind of really more into the Paper Mario stuff. I love the art look that this has. I love this kind of crafty look that we've seen from it. It looks like a lot of fun. We have a release date again in early October, which is awesome. I'm super, super excited. I was actually October 7th. I apologize. I was actually shocked that I did not see an Amiibo sticker on the box art.
Really?
Because I'm not shocked because I mean, we didn't see any other new Amiibo to support it, but it just felt like a game that I wouldn't have been shocked if they used Amiibo for it.
Yeah.
Because we saw they used it for Paper Jam.
I think they had a lot of complaints about how that was implemented.
Could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it looks a lot of fun to play. I think the trailer is just like there's some crazy, crazy stuff going on. Like at one point they call in a move basically, and it's like, a cat shows up.
And it's like the lucky cat in Japanese culture.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, what?
And then that's straight out. I'm pretty sure that's straight out of Sticker Star.
That's out of Sticker Star.
Yeah. Did you play Sticker Star?
I never played Sticker Star, no. Okay. And then I saw that you use the gamepad at times to like cut away things.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, cut and paste on the tablet. So it looks really, really cool. I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
I just hope that the thing cards are not as convoluted as the thing stickers.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, it's like looking
that
was at the this
thing that brought that game down.
Looking at this game, at this trailer, it was, and I didn't see any of the gameplay for it, unfortunately. Again, Nintendo, it's great that you've got those, but you can only see so much of this. You can't watch two full days of it. But as far as the trailer goes, it seems like it definitely looks like Sticker Star. From what I played of Sticker Star, I got like three or four worlds in there. It looks a lot like Sticker Star, but it also looks like a more polished version of Sticker Star. Like if they can take what they did and make it better and kind of improve that kind of a game, I'm open to it. I just think that it's something that it's going to have to prove itself. It's got an uphill battle in order to get the hearts and minds of Nintendo fans, I think, given what Sticker Star did to that Paper Mario franchise. So, yeah, but I mean, it looks beautiful. I think I'll give it that. It looks really nice. I think it's just got to prove itself. So, by the way, we also skipped over entirely, Mario Party Star Rush.
Oh, we did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which comes out November 4th. Yeah. And they talked about the Amiibo as well. And I don't know, it kind of looks like a Mario Party game with that you can all roll at once. So that's literally the only difference.
Some weird main mode called Toad Scramble.
Yeah.
It uses a new open style of map that allows up to four players to move around freely instead of traditional linear space movement.
Yeah. I feel like this is like,
you know, and I've mentioned before that my family here, we love playing ourselves some Mario Party. But after the last Mario Party for Wii U, man, I feel like burnt. Between that miss and then like Amiibo Festival, like, no. I am not. Like, you have to come out of the doors and give me the best Mario Party game ever for me to be able to put down my money on these things anymore. Because I'm feeling like it's so done with it. And like, and it's unfortunate because like the kids love them, right? The kids like playing them. It's a good time, right? But it's like you are just milking me for all of it. Right?
Yeah,
and it's just like, it's not that good. Come on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, one thing that's interesting is it like looking on their website. One of the features here it says multiplayer via local wireless or download play. So you have to have additional 3DSs or 2DSs, but you can play with a single card. So that's a bonus. That the new Kirby game has that too.
So did the old Mario.
The other Mario Party for 3DS, Party. That too.
Did it?
Yeah, the Mario Party for the DS, like three versions ago, did it. My kids still play. That's what we played when we were traveling.
Yeah, so you still play that one, hey? So this one still has download play, which is good. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind for Mario Party. Does it limit that, or like does it just limit what character you can be, or what? For download play in the other ones. I've never played a portable download Mario Party.
Usually it'll limit the avatar.
Yeah.
I don't even think it does. Like in the one we're playing for the 2D, for the DS, I don't think it does.
Yeah. So it's maybe like
I'm
the
thinking
full
of, maybe I'm thinking Mario Kart. You know, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, DS. You have to be a shy guy. I know that.
I thought, or a Yoshi at that, but that was it.
Yeah. So, and all of the Mario Amiibo that were announced are compatible. Obviously, the ones that are currently out are compatible as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think we bought the last Mario Party for 3DS. We installed it on my youngest daughter's system, and we've never touched it.
Well, isn't it one of the selects now? So.
It might be.
Yeah, I think it is. So that's Mario Party Star Rush. Watched it. It seemed like Mario Party, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. Finally, we had a little bit more Zelda. I didn't watch any of the Zelda stuff. They showed, what were you saying? Showed a lot of destructible weapons.
Yeah, they didn't show anything new. They just were doing a lot of shield surfing and wanting.
I love the shield surfing. I watched more of yesterday's stuff today. I love the shield surfing.
They did that so the shield would purposely break while he's riding it, just to watch the fall animation.
Oh, really?
Because that's pretty amusing.
That's awesome. So that's they showed some more Zelda stuff, and then they wrapped it up with Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, which they showed the trailer. I was telling Justin before the show, I came in a little bit partway through, and they had already shown the trailer. I went back afterwards and watched the trailer, and the trailer actually just said, "And it's available now." And everybody, you know, I personally, when I found out later after I had watched the footage and stuff, I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing!" And I immediately ran to the eShop and bought it. And the eShop, bought it and downloaded it and have played through.
Canadian currency.
Oh my gosh, dude! So it was 30 American. It was like 42.50 or something like that Canadian, and before tax. So it ended up being like $45. So thanks, Justin Trudeau. No, Justin Trudeau is a specimen. I shouldn't blame it on him. But yeah, so that's Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix is out now, and it's a compilation of everything, of a lot of different Rhythm Heaven games. If you haven't played a Rhythm Heaven game, go. There's a demo, too. I don't know if I mentioned that before. There's a demo on the eShop right now that you can go and download and play. Go and play that, at least. Like, for heaven's sakes, educate yourself on what Rhythm Heaven is, and then you'll probably want to buy the full game because it's that. I've played it for maybe 45 minutes tonight, and I'm just like, oh, it's so good. I really, really like it. So yeah. So, and that's that. So, and there's also apparently some like wireless communication stuff. I don't know if it's download play or if it's other stuff. I can't tell, but, or if it's, you have to have multiple copies. I'm not sure, but so good, dude. It is seriously,
it's stuff.
It's seriously the best. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
I would, okay, in the chat it says, I would have bought it for $15 at most, but a $30 game stuck on my 3DS, I don't know. No, it's worth it. It's a full game. It is weird that they did digital only, though, right? Like, I think, I don't know if that's just because we're end of life cycle, Rhythm Heaven isn't necessarily the most, I don't know how popular it is here, but it should be. Like, I'm telling you, this is probably going to be, like, the Rhythm Heaven for DS was probably in the top, it's in my top, I would put it in my top 5, or top 10 for sure, of DS games. So, it's nice. Amazing.
I think this has been out in Japan for a while now. It's finally getting out here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. I really, really like it. So, it'll be fun. So go and get it. Go and at least try the demo, and you will enjoy it. I guarantee it. So, is there anything else?
Or your money back.
Or your money back. I don't know. Any other thoughts from day two, guys? You guys see anything else that was not part of the stream? I have a couple of things, but if there's anything you guys have as well as I pull my stuff up.
Nothing that really stood out for me.
Yeah. I have here just a few like comments that were made and different things. So Reggie said VR needs to hit mainstream before Nintendo uses it. I think that's pretty wise. Reggie said, this is on my Nintendo news. He said, Reggie says that although Nintendo has followed VR since the days of Virtual Boy, virtual reality hasn't reached the point where it has hit the mainstream and mass market. Once it does, Nintendo will use it. Reggie feels, based on his own personal judgment, that the mainstream point is still a far ways off. I would agree with that, I think, actually. I think really, depending on how Sony's VR stuff that is coming out in October, right? Which is $400 after you already... But that doesn't even come with the motion controllers or anything, which you need to have. So in order to get into VR right now, the cheapest option is to get a PS4, which is how much? $400? $350?
$350.
So $350 for a PS4, and then I believe it's $500 for the Move controllers and the VR headset and everything. So you're looking at $850 before tax minimum in order to get into VR right now. So that's some coin to get into VR, and I think for Nintendo to get into it, I think they're smart to wait a while. So yeah, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Are you even interested in VR in general? Like, Justin,
I think in general VR, I don't know, right? Like, when I play games, and I've always kind of played this way, I enjoy the inclusion-ness of games. I enjoy couch co-op. I enjoy passing a controller with a friend. I enjoy that shared communal experience. And I think VR just isolates us. And I think fundamentally, Nintendo has always been about bringing people together for gaming, not for isolating people for gaming.
Yeah.
So I don't think it logically makes sense. Like, I even think of, like, you know, latest Mario Party, right? Like, so four friends sit together. I mean, that game is about coming together to play together.
Yeah, Mario Party, like, is meant to be played on a TV. Yeah.
It's all about the experience of bringing people together, right? And I think that I don't think VR. I'm sure people, and I've seen some great VR things. I saw Greg Miller from Kind of Funny Games got to basically try on a VR experience where it's like Arkham Batman VR.
Oh,
and that looks incredible, right? Like, I'm sure that's amazing and I would love that. But I just think from like how I want to play games, that's not how I want to play games, mm-hmm. right? I want to be inclusive. So
yeah,
rant done.
Very cool. Jesse, you going to get VR? You doing it? You have a PS4, right?
Yeah, I do have a PS4. Initially, I had no interest in VR, but after seeing some of the things Sony showed Monday night, now I'm on the fence.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get one at launch. I don't have the money. If I had the money, I'd be saving it for an NX.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right?
That
VR NX or NX
definitely has my priority over a VR.
Yeah.
What, yeah. Does that mean I'm never going to get a VR? No.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I think letting the technology mature a little bit, I think, is going to be pretty valuable. A good decision, for sure. Another sort of just little snippets here. The GM of Nintendo Canada, which, by the way, Justin, his name is Pierre-Paul Trepanier.
So, yeah, that's very Canadian.
Very, yeah. So he took a moment to address the NX today, saying, "We'll talk about the NX this fall. At that time, it will be 100% NX. So fall, which means
winter,
which means, like, yeah, anytime between, like, to me, that says like September to November somewhere. Oh,
fall for a Canadian is still August, isn't it?
No. Ooh. Yeah, it could be. I've had snow on the first day of school before. So,
yeah, I
grew up in Minnesota. I mean, we used to have snow in September too.
Yeah. So that's so fall. You know, so that tells me like September, October. I think November's too late. It's got to be September or October.
October. You want for people, you want to announce it early enough in like late September, early October, that people forget about it when it comes to Christmas season.
Yeah.
Right? Because people are like, oh, well, why would I buy Johnny this new thing? Or why would I buy them the game when you're just going to need to get new games in like 6 weeks or 6 months from now?
Yeah.
So you need to do it like mid to late September, latest early October for consumers to kind of forget and get pumped for the, you know, Black Friday rush.
By the way, do you think, I know that we're getting a little, it might be a little, we're like E3's over. So we got to start predictions for something else now.
Sure.
do you think we're going to have a price cut this holiday for on the Wii U? Do you think it's going to finally have a lower price?
No, I don't yes. think so.
I think this is literally the only time they do it, and if they want to sell any of them, they've got to cut the price because people know NX is coming.
I think they'll go down to 200.
You think so? Yeah. I think it's possible.
Especially with the new Xbox S starting at 300.
Right, dude. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yes, that's what you keep me around for.
Yeah, no, that's true. I forgot about
that. And because somebody's got to play Dragon Quest and Sharp FE.
Yeah. There you go.
Speaking of non-Nintendo stuff, I did have a little announcement in case anyone cares.
PlayStation Dad's coming this August. No, just kidding.
No. Yeah, remember as part of the Final Fantasy 15 blowout that happened in March that led to the release date and a whole bunch of other announcements, and one of those announcements was like a 5 or 6 episode anime series.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And then the first episode was out that week. Episode 2 hit during E3. So episode 2 is out there.
In the wild.
For those who care.
Nice.
Out in the wild.
Very cool.
Good to know.
Right on, dude. Finally, I've got one more thing here. This is just another blurb from somebody. Who was it? From Alain Corre of Ubisoft talking about the NX. He said, "We've always appreciated the relationship with Nintendo, the co-creation, and the fact that they really are concentrating on quality. They have fantastic brands. And they are addressing the family market in a very different way, their own way, which we appreciate." This is all fluff, but this is interesting. He says, "We have done a lot of products and successes with Nintendo in the past, and we believe that the NX will recapture a lot of the lapsed Wii players. So we will see when they release it, but we are confident." So Ubisoft, at least, is saying that they're confident. I don't know if that even means a dang thing, but I thought it was interesting. When I saw this headline,
the company that puts out like 5 games for every new console that exists.
Yeah, when I saw this headline, I was like, "Oh, recapture Wii players! Please don't refer to the NX and the Wii in the same thing." Like, they've gone so far afield; they were so distracted by the Wii, which kind of sent them to where I think that the Wii made the Wii U inevitable. The lessons they learned from the Wii made the Wii U happen, and I think they need to come back to
now they have to make that unhappen.
Yeah, exactly. And I really don't want them to just go and say, and again, this isn't Nintendo saying this. This is Ubisoft, right? But the idea that Nintendo somehow needs to go and find the get back the Wii audience is super dumb, and I don't think that they want that at all. So
yeah.
I don't know. Any other thoughts on that?
It's interesting that they're, kind of wanting to re-engage in that conversation, right? That's nice of them, but we'll see what that actually comes out to being fruition.
Yeah.
So, right. I think the other thing that we're kind of not mentioning, the dark horse or the elephant in the room that everyone wanted to hear. Mother 3 did not get announced.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. That's definitely a thing that sad.
So there was a fake Nintendo Twitter account that made the announcement.
Oh,
and, someone retweeted it and mentioned us.
No way, and like, dude.
Sorry, that's a fake.
Oh, Nintendo America or something.
Nintendo. With an L instead of a T.
Oh, that's notorious, man. That's terrible.
Because if you do a quick glance, you don't even notice it.
Yeah. Cross those T's, man. Dot those I's. That's That's sad. So, no mother. Maybe, I don't know. I bet you. Come on, Nintendo. What are you doing?
They've still got a full year. Like, simmer down, folks. They still got another half a year.
You know what, NX though?
Launch title.
Imagine. Imagine for a moment.
Imagine if you would.
Imagine if they come out and they say, NX, we've got Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, also introducing our virtual console store that is cross-compatible with both the console and the handheld, and launching with Mother 3. Done, right? now they're holding it. Now they're holding it. We're not going to see it till NX now. I'm calling it now. If they were going to release it, it was now.
I had just said that 30 seconds ago.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but sometimes I talk so much that I don't even listen.
What?
I apologize, Jesse's son. Yeah, we're on the same page. Great mind think it's late, dude. It's been a long 2 days. Anything else?
We're not even in LA. If we were, you would be more exhausted.
Yeah, I would be. You're right. Anything else as we kind of wrap things
up? And you still have a third date left.
Oh, gosh. I do not envy the people who waited in line for Zelda for that long. Hopefully that line was moving fast, though, because they, like, if you saw the crane shots of the booth, they had a lot of units. You know, they had a lot of people who were playing Zelda at one time. And how long did they give people? Like, how long do you figure? Like, half an hour?
Maybe? Well, apparently there was a couple of them. There was a 15-minute demo and a 25-minute demo.
Mm. Very cool.
If you watched the first Zelda Treehouse yesterday, they didn't disable the demo timer.
Mm.
So the time ended in the middle of the presentation, in the middle of Bill Trinan playing it.
That's right.
That was kind of amusing.
That was awesome. Very cool. So that's that, gentlemen. Anything else as we wrap up?
No, I think overall it was a good E3. I'm okay with it. I feel like Nintendo's in an okay place, nowhere that we didn't expect it to be. I'm excited about the future for playing Zelda, obviously, and the fact that we are going to continue to hear about Zelda for the next 9 months. And Nintendo does have some games for us to play in the next 9 months as we lead up the NX as well.
But I was just thinking another mystery. It's not surprising that it wasn't seen at E3, but no mention of Metroid at all, of Federation Force. It's not a surprise. The last thing they needed is Metroid Prime Federation Force to taint E3.
For the second year in a row.
Yeah, they just were like, you know what, Federation Force, you just go, you stay home, you do a little soul searching, you know, maybe go to one of those, you know, getaways where they put you in the teepee and get a massage and whatever. I don't know. But just please, for goodness sakes, we will pay for that if you just stay away from E3. Just
don't show up.
We have a quick comment and a question in chat.
Okay.
Both from Mits1K3. You know, going back to when we talked about VR and the starting costs on that, he says he'll stick to Google Cardboard.
Sure. Google Cardboard, dude. I actually have like a plastic version of Google Cardboard that's like a plastic housing mask thing. That thing's pretty cool.
I haven't even tried that yet. I should.
It's not anyway, bad.
And his question is, do you think third-party devs had NX games available, but Nintendo told them not to bring them?
I wouldn't be surprised if some of the games that we saw at E3 are also coming to NX. But
yeah, I don't think there's any third-party NX exclusive anything.
No. And we did see some games.
Ubisoft might do something. They always do something weird, right?
Yeah, we saw some games actually as we led up to E3 that were like, you know, coming to Nintendo NX as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's actually confirmed by Nintendo or it's just hopeful thinking by a developer, that's something else.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if there is anything NX exclusive that's third party, it'll be Ubisoft. I don't think anyone else will try it.
It's still super weird to me that we are not going to have another, like, the next E3, the NX will have launched. That is weird to me.
That's the first time that a system doesn't get an E3.
Yeah, it just doesn't get an E3. You're right.
Where historically they've gotten two E3s.
Okay, Kobe123 in chat said Just Dance has been announced for NX. So
there it is. There it is.
Yeah,
that's been announced for actually Wii U and NX.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was announced for Wii.
My gosh. Wow. The first game to ever span three generations of hardware.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, to be simultaneously released, all three. That's incredible. Very cool. All right, well.
I don't know if it's a beautiful thing or a scary thing.
Both.
I'm torn. Both, yes.
Absolutely both. Right on. Well, let's wrap. I'm going to bring this same music back in. By the way, I guess my final thoughts, Jesse. We'll get yours too, but my final thoughts are, I think it actually turned out to be a decent E3. They still should have done a digital event just because don't waste my time. I feel like that's honestly what it is. It's just don't waste my time. I want to have that all that information in one direct, you know, have it be a digital event, have it be a direct, whatever you want to call it. I just want that packaged information instead of having to hunt all over the place. Having said that, I all is forgiven because they released Rhythm Heaven at the end of it. Like, that was the best cherry on top they could have possibly done. And so if you know, go and at least download the demo, and it's awesome. So, what about you, Jesse? How are you feeling about E3?
I agree. I think Nintendo did a better job than I was expecting based on all the doom and gloom going into it.
Mm-hmm. And looking forward to Zelda.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Zelda. I'm looking forward to Sharp FE. Looking forward to Dragon Quest.
Nice. Right on, man. Right on. Well, I'm going to bring this music back in because it's so just...
Yeah, just as we're getting ready to round out, a couple of reminders for folks. Actually, the very first thing I want to do is I want to direct your eyeballs to our YouTube channel. And there you can actually find a very cool unboxing video called Unboxing Kirby Amiibo, a Kirby Amiibo line, courtesy of fan of the show, Alex. So Alex, I don't know how to say his last name, Benuda. I'm sorry, I'm horrible at good first names, let alone last names. He actually shot a unboxing video for us. He sent us the footage, and it was just a fantastic video. We thank you, Alex, for doing it. He opened up all four Amiibo, did some really cute intros and outros as well. We added some VO to it. But guys, you know, check out his stuff. It was really awesome. Thank you, Alex, for taking the time to do that. It's incredible. So guys, go over to our YouTube channel, check it out. Give Alex's video a big thumbs up. So we are so grateful and thankful for that as well. A couple of the reminders, Retro Rewind, we're playing Punch Out. You should be also. To go along with stuff next week, Alex Osborne from IGN is going to be joining us. And for those of you that are in the sound of my voice in the Alberta area, Zach and myself will be up at the Classic Video Game Championship, I think. What is it called, Zach? What are we going to? What is it called?
Oh my gosh, man. That is a great question. Hang on. Video Game Championship.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, dude. Classic Video Game Championship. Yeah, there you go. Qualifier for finals.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, so we're going to in Edmonton on June 24th, or sorry, 25th. We'll be there doing a live show plus a panel afterwards. So check us out, guys.
That's at Nate, right?
That's at Nate. Yeah, Nate. And you can also go to our Facebook page. We've shared the event as well if you're in the area. We'd love to check it out. We'd like to meet fans of the show if you're there. We also might try and bump into some other friendly podcasters in that area as well.
Right on. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you to them, man. That's awesome. I'm excited for that. That should be fun. So check that out. Of course, if you want to follow us on all of the social medias and follow everything that we're doing, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube every Wednesday night, youtube.com/c/nintendodads/live. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. If you want to buy some Nintendo Dads merch, the sale's still going on for the rest of the week. We'll leave it up for a little while longer. Go to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads store, as well as to big thanks to OZ Remix for our music throughout our regular show. Actually, the music today is brought to you by Nintendo. Don't flag us, YouTube. Just don't do it. If you want to change the world, ladies and gentlemen, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Lots of people are doing that. I think we're getting close to ending Josh Thomas's hunger strike, which is great. He's starting to look a little bony. So I think that's great for him. Thank you everybody it actually does make a huge difference in order to get the show into the ears and hearts of people around the world. So thank you very much. Of course, if you want to download the show, go over to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, and for Jesse, we will see you all back next week. And hey, happy 100th episode, guys. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.